Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers, text number 8. Shri Prahlada Uvacha, Brahmadaya Suragana Munayo Tasiddha. Sadvai katana gatayo vachasam pravahai. Naraditum purugunai aduna pipipru. Kim doshtum aharati samehari ugrajate. Shri Prahlada Vacha, Prahlad Maharaj prayed. Brahma Adaya, headed by Lord Brahma. Suragana, the inhabitants of the upper planetary systems. Munaya, the great saintly persons. Atta, as well, like the four Kumaras and others. Siddha, who have obtained perfection or full knowledge. Sattva, to spiritual existence. Ekatana, Gataya, who have taken without diversion to any material activities. Vachasam, of descriptions or words. Pravahai, by streams. It's nighttime. Na, not. Araditum, to satisfy. Puraganai, although fully qualified. Aduna, until now. Api, even. Pipru, were able. Kim, whether. Toshtum, to become pleased. Arhati, is able. Sa, he, the Lord. Me, my. Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ugrajate, who am born in an Asuric family. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Prahlada Maharaj prayed, how is it possible for me, who have been born in a family of Asuras, to offer suitable prayers to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Even until now, all the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, and all the saintly persons could not satisfy the Lord by streams of excellent words, although such persons are very qualified, being in the mode of goodness. Then, what is to be said of me? I am not at all qualified. Purport. A Vaishnava who is fully qualified to serve the Lord still thinks himself extremely low while offering prayers to the Lord. For example, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, says, Jagai Madai Haite Muni Se Papishta Purishera Kita Haite Muni Se Lagishta. Thus he considered himself unqualified, low in the worms and the stool, more sinful than Jagai and Madhai. Pure Vaishnava actually thinks himself in this way. Similarly, although Prahlada Maharaj was a pure exalted Vaishnava, he thought himself most unqualified to offer prayers to the Supreme Lord. Mahajno Yena Kata Sapanta. Every pure Vaishnava should think like this. One should not be falsely proud of his Vaishnava qualifications. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore instructed us. Trinadapi sunichena turiva sihishnuna amarina madhidena kirtaniyak sadahari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself low in the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, should be ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Unless one is meek and humble to make progress in spiritual life, is very difficult. Shri Parada Vacha Brahmadaya Surgana Munayota Siddha Sadvaikatana Gatayo Vachamsa Pravahai Naraditum Puruganai Adunapi Pipru Kim Toshtum Arati Same Hari Ugra Jate. Prahlad Maharaj prayed, "How is it possible for me, who have been born in a family of asuras, to offer suitable prayers to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Even until now, all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma and all the saintly persons could not satisfy the Lord by streams of excellent words, although such persons are very qualified, being the mode of goodness. Then what is to be said of me? I am not at all qualified." Well, the idea of being humble is difficult to imagine. After all, humility is just one of the other many wonderful qualities I already have. I don't want to sound like I'm proud. I just want to be honest. That's all. So how is that one becomes actually humble? Well, for one thing, if we realize the philosophy, we'll automatically become humble. Because if we're 1/10,000th the size of the tip of hair in size, it's very hard to imagine becoming too proud. I'm maybe 1/10,000th the size of the tip of hair in size, but I'm 1/1,000,000th the size of the tip of hair in size bigger than you are. So respect seniors. No, all of us were the same size. And we're the same age. We're all eternal. We're all... And we all have the same, more or less, same occupation. That is to try to please Krishna. So for a pure devotee, there's absolutely nothing to be proud of. Now, the philosophy may be accepted theoretically, and that will help us, or it may be accepted it will be accepted actually when we realize it. But Krishna gives us in Bhagavad Gita many, many different indications how we can understand things properly. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. Bewildered by the three modes of material nature, the ignorant perform activities, think themselves to be the doer of the activities, which are actually, they're carried out by the modes of material nature. We're not only tiny, but we're not even doing anything in the material world. It's all being conducted either by the spiritual energy or by the material energy. All we can do is choose which desire that we want to fulfill. That's all. And if there are spiritual desires, then that's not our desires, that's the desires of Krishna and his devotees coming into simple succession. We're just dovetailing our desires with their desires, with their instructions. And if we don't do that, then we'll be forced to dovetail our desires with the desires rising from the three modes of material nature, according to our past activities. So no way is there any reason to be proud of anything, any more than a person who's in jail is proud of his jail cell. Now people put their pictures on Facebook, But I doubt whether many prisoners in jails are putting their a tour of their prison cell on the Facebook. It's actually embarrassing to be in jail, unless you have a lot of friends who are criminals. And you have a contest who would be the biggest criminal. But generally speaking, people don't like to be mentioned, what's your newest address? My Alcatraz. I'm living in Alcatraz. I have my own private room. No, it's embarrassing. Similarly, it's embarrassing to be in the material world. And anyone who's proud of their position in the material world is obviously an illusion. But we've come to a place where a lot of people are an illusion. It's not uncommon to find someone an illusion. Just like it's not uncommon to find criminals in a prison. And if you ask any of the prisoners, how did you get here? 99.9% of them will say I was unfairly put here. Or it was an accident. I was just walking along one day and I took a wrong turn and here I am. But no one will believe, or most people won't believe them. They'll understand that people are in the prison because they're criminals. Similarly, all of us, we're here. We can say we're criminals, but of course people don't like to be described as criminals. Just because we've forgotten the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just because we're trying to steal all his energy and enjoy it for ourselves, we don't think that's a very bad thing because we're with all the other criminals who are trying to do the same thing. But actually, that's the only thing we've done wrong, or that's the main thing we've done wrong. We've simply forgotten Krishna, and now we're trying to imagine that we become him, and therefore we're becoming chastised. Or we could say, put into different situations by the illusory energy. And if we just accept our normal position as meant to serve Krishna and please him and his devotees, then all our troubles in material existence will be gone. So Prahlad Maharaj, he's realized how wonderful Krishna is, how wonderful Krishna's devotees are. He's understood that he's very tiny in the whole context of reality, and therefore he's very humble. But even Krishna is humble. Krishna himself thinks his devotees are more important than him, and his devotees, of course, including Srimati Radharani, think that they have no significance other than to please Krishna. That Krishna is significant. And Krishna thinks all his devotees are significant. So anyone who becomes proud and puffed up about his wonderful position is obviously doesn't understand things properly. Therefore, the Brahmins in the Vedic culture, they purposely, consciously put themselves in a position which will encourage their humility. They try to put themselves in a position where they won't become proud of their wealth or their education or whatever else. Then it's easier to think about Krishna and the pastimes of Krishna because love and humility go together. So if there's unlimited love in the spiritual world, there's also unlimited humility. Not that Krishna's standing there thinking how great I am, everyone see how great I am. It would be quite boring after some time. Krishna is engaged with his devotees, thinking how wonderful they are. And he's doing everything to please them. He dresses to please them. He plays his flute to please them. He does everything. He arranges the pastimes to please them. And that way he becomes pleased. And similarly, his devotees are doing everything to please Krishna, and therefore they become pleased. But in the competition between Krishna and his devotees, who's the most humble, who's doing the most to please each other, Krishna has a hard time competing. And therefore he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in order to take on the mood of Srimati Radharani and feel separation from Krishna. And therefore he can chant this verse, Trinada pi sunichena treva sihishnuna amanina maridena kirtini aksadahari. Now, the verse is in response to the fact that the holy name is so wonderful because it's Krishna. It has so many wonderful properties. But I'm chanting, and I don't experience that taste of chanting Hare Krishna. Anuragaha. So what's happening? Well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, maybe I'm a little proud, and therefore I'm an illusion. Maybe I'm not tolerant. Maybe I want all the respect, and I don't want to give anyone else respect. So that's the first thing. Then we can chant Hare Krishna constantly. And if we do that, then this attachment to wealth, to followers, to sense gratification, to liberation, will gradually be diminished, and therefore we can actually take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, Krishna's service, in the right mood, with the right detachment. Then one can experience the full taste of Krishna consciousness and feel separation from Krishna, and eventually come to this stage that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recites, Ashishavapadam panam panastimam, Adarshanam marmahatam krotuva, yatatatavadatu lampato matprana natastusa eva napara. There one can actually feel separation from Krishna and be surrendered to Krishna. Or Srimati Radharani says to her girlfriends that if Krishna wants to enjoy some other gopi, then I go to that, and the gopi doesn't want to be enjoyed by Krishna, then I'll go to that gopi's house and I'll become her maidservant and induce her to be ready to be enjoyed by Krishna. So Srimati Radharani, her only desire is to please Krishna, because she experiences how wonderful Krishna is, unlimitedly wonderful is. So if we experience how wonderful Krishna is and how wonderful things in relation to Krishna are, then we'll actually feel love, and if we feel real love, then humility will be included within that. And if we don't, then even, it says in this age of Kali Yuga, even a beggar is proud of his penny. We'll find some reason to be proud of how wonderful I am. And then, of course, in relation to me, everyone else is also wonderful. If they have some connection with me, they become wonderful. I'm like touchstone. Anyone who touches me automatically becomes wonderful too. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Okay, thank you very much. Gandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.